In the book of Revelation chapter 13, I want to go through verses 1 through 18, even though we've looked at part of that. I want to reiterate some things there. For those of you that were here Wednesday evening and watched the 51-minute video of Charlie Kurt and Jack Hibbs, I think it gives you a better understanding of how the Economic World Forum and Klaus Schwab and all of these others are trying their best to usher in this new one world order, this new one world government. In fact, I read, I believe it was last Sunday evening, this quote from Belgium, P.H. Speight, who made the following statement: "The truth is that the method of international committees has failed. What we need is a person, someone in the highest order, of great experience, of great authority, of wide influence, of great energy. Let him come, and let him come quickly, either a civilian or a military man, no matter what his nationality, who will cut all the red tape, shove out of the way all the committees, wake up all the people, and galvanize all governments into action. Let him come quickly. This man we need and for whom we wait will take charge of the defense of the West. Once more, I say, it's not too late, but it is high time." Sentiments like that will make the rise of the Antichrist a welcomed event to many whenever it happens one of these days. When Charlie Kurt and Jack Hibbs were speaking on the video last Wednesday evening, as we watched that, and this one world order, this one world government, is referred to by several different names. Globalization is one of them. The Great Reset is another one. The One World Order is another one. The One World Government is another one. All of those meaning the very same thing. One of the things that I thought was especially heartrending was the fact of them saying, if something is not broken, why reset it? You've got to break it in order to reset something. And so the greatest enemy, I believe, within is the enemy who someday will come against all that America has stood for. You see, if they can break the West, if they can crush America from within, because America stands in the way of getting this all ushered in. And let me tell you, you and I tonight, those that have the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, as Paul spoke about to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 through 9, the restrainer is the Holy Spirit that will be taken up with the church. Now, let me explain this. I think I've reiterated this at least 14 times during our study, but let me reiterate once again. How will people be saved if the church is gone, which is representative of the Holy Spirit living within the saved? Well, if you go back to the book of Genesis, the Holy Spirit has always been around. The Holy Spirit has always been here. The Holy Spirit will be present in this world long after you and I have gone to heaven. The Holy Spirit, the restrainer that now restrains, working through the saved of the earth in the church age, is one of the restraining things that keeps all evil and all wickedness from proliferation all over the world, even though as much as there already is. But once we as the saved have been raptured out of the world, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of the living God will still be working in the world and during the days of the tribulation. Please remember that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there will be many cataclysmic events that will take place, as we saw in the seal judgments and then these trumpet judgments, and then they'll begin the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years, as I understand it, the Antichrist will come in pretty much peaceably. He will be a world leader that people will flock and fall over. He will come peaceably to confirm his covenant with the people of Israel. so that they can rebuild their temple during that first part of the tribulation. They will begin to initiate once again the sacrificial animal sacrifices to atone for their sins as they did in the Old Testament system. But when you get to the middle of that first three and a half years, this one world leader, this one world dictator, he will break that confirmed covenant that he's made with the nation of Israel. And the Jewish people will no longer be able to worship in their temple. And this Antichrist will set himself up to be worshiped as God. All hell will be unleashed. He will be Satan incarnate. Satan will use him, give him great powers to do great miraculous signs and wonders. He will be mortally wounded, and he will be brought back to life. And as this passage speaks about, that will cause the world of the people whose names, and this is huge, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. That would be people, include people during the days of the tribulation that will be saved, that will get saved. And so that last 3.5 years is referred to as the Great Tribulation. Great, the emphasis there, because of the incredible tough days that it will manifest itself in for people that are living during that time. Now let me go back to chapter 13. I want to go verse by verse for this evening and help us to recap some of these things. Next week, probably before I get into chapter 14, I'm going to go back and give an update on what we've done thus far. I'll try to give you a handout that will bring you up to snuff on where we've come from in the first 13 chapters so that you will have that. We'll go over that. We'll look at that. We'll revisit those things so that as we're going through the book, we will continue to fully grasp as much as we humanly possibly can what's going on. Now, in chapter 13, you've got one beast that's coming up out of the sea. Now, the word sea there is not referring to waters. Here it's referring to the multitudes of the various nations of peoples upon the earth, the Gentile nations and multitudes of people, wherever they may reside all over the world. Now, verse 1 said, and the dragon. You've got to remember that when John is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John is trying to paint a picture for you and for me that we can understand as much as we can possibly understand the symbolism that's in the book of Revelation. In other words, the way he would describe the dragon, he's speaking about Satan. He's speaking about this fallen angel that took upon himself that wanted to be equal to God and above God himself. So how does he describe him? He describes him as a beast here with all of his power, with the authority that he walks around during these final days of the Gentile nations upon the face of the earth. So he describes him. He symbolically uses a beast here to describe Satan. So the dragon in the book of Revelation is referring to Satan. Now notice, and the dragon stood where? On the sand of the seashore. He's speaking here about that he is out there among the multitudes of the nations of people. He said, then I saw a beast. He's using another symbolic name for this one world antichrist, this one world dictator. And he uses the word beast. In other words, if you and I think of a beast, based upon movies, stories that we've read, what would we think a beast would be like? And so John is using symbolic language. He's using beastly animal characteristics in order to try to identify to you and to me as best as he could of what these people are like. The dragon is a created being. When God created Satan, he created him as Lucifer, son of the morning, the most beautiful of all of the cherubs, the one that was highest in rank in musical abilities. And so he's speaking about how Lucifer, the son of the morning, this great angelic created being, wanted to be God himself. And so he's elevated himself to the degree that he has drawn one-third of the angels that God created, and they chose. They made a conscientious decision. And of course, God is a God who grants to you and to me decisions. God grants us a free will to choose. And Satan and a third of those created beings chose to pull away from God, what God ordained and what God orchestrated. And so in verse 1, you've got these beastly names for characters that have great power and that have great authority, and it describes their behaviors, if you will. Third line there said, "Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea." Sea is the multitudes of the nations, the Gentile nations of the world, the Roman nations of the world, the peoples of the world. And so this beast, this Antichrist, this one world dictator, he will come from the masses of the people. Now, John describes him having 10 horns and 7 heads. 7 is the number of completion. He's speaking about here intellect there. And on his horns symbolize authority, strength, were 10 diadems. And on his heads were blasphemous names. So in verse 1, John gives to you and to me a picture of not only Satan, but this one world Antichrist that is going to be Satan incarnate, in the fact that Satan will give to this great dictatorial man that the world will fall at his feet and languish after whatever he does. And so John is giving us a picture there of all of what he will be. Now, he will be heading up a 10-league nation of nations that will be divided up across the world. The world will be divided into 10 different parts. A few years back, I read where they had already said the United States, Canada, and Mexico would be one of those parts that this world will be divided into. Verse 2 says, "And the beast," that's the Antichrist, this one world leader that's going to come, "and the beast which I saw," now John is going to once again use these beastly animals because of the way they run, the power that they have within their very being. You'll remember over in the book of Daniel, we saw those nations of the world, how they were symbolized. Leopard, the leopard was Greece, and so on and so forth. "And the beast which I saw was like a leopard." What does a leopard do? He's fast. He's strong. he sneaks upon his prey, and his feet were like those of a bear. In other words, this Antichrist will be somebody that will be moving among the masses of the peoples of the world. And his mouth, like the mouth of a lion. The other night on television, the Lion King was on. I reverted back to being a child, and I watched part of the Lion King again to watch Simba and Thor and all of those characters that are on there. The lion is the king of the jungle. When the lion roars, you sit up and you take note. What John's describing here is these characteristics of this one world leader that is going to have these beastly qualities about him in fierceness, in swiftness. Notice, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, this one world leader will absolutely sway the masses of the world by the words, by his eloquence as he speaks. And then notice John said, and the dragon, remember that, Satan, and the dragon gave him, Satan gives him, this one world Antichrist, his power and his throne and great authority. So when I mentioned a few moments ago that this one world dictator will be Satan incarnate, you can see why he will be, because Satan will give him his power and his throne. And notice the word great once again. When you see that word, the great tribulation, great authority, it's referring to a tremendous amount of things that are going to take place. Verse 3, I saw, verse 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. Now, this is referring to the Antichrist. It's referring to his assassination. Now, the way this reads, the New American Standard says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And notice what happens after you have this incredible resurrection of this Antichrist. There are some scholars, as we have talked about, that think it will be a faked assassination. Many of the others believe it will be a real assassination. Notice, and his fatal wound was healed. Now, what's going to happen? This Antichrist, all of a sudden, is killed. We're not told how he's killed. We're not told by whom he's killed. We can only suspect. Will it be those two witnesses that will be able to call fire down from heaven? Will they be the ones, or will it be someone else? We're not told. So we just have to leave it with what we're told. But notice what happens when this resurrection of this one world leader is suddenly resuscitated back to life. What happens? And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast, this Antichrist. Notice in verse 4, they worshiped the dragon. Who are they worshiping there? Satan. Why? Because he, Satan, gave Satan's authority to the Antichrist. That's what that's saying there. They worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, because he gave his authority to whom? The beast. Who's that? The Antichrist, the one world dictator. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? and who is able to wage war with him. Do you get the picture? I don't know about you, but when I read, I form visual pictures in my mind. All of a sudden, Satan is given all of this incredible power. He has limited power, by the way. Satan only has the power which God himself allows him to have. It's limited power. But I might also add, it is great power to perform signs and to perform wonders. No wonder the world will be amazed. No wonder the world will say, who is like the beast? And who's able to wage war with him? And then notice, if you will, verse 5. There was given to him, this Antichrist, a mouth speaking arrogant words. He'll be filled with incredible pride, like the pride Satan had when Satan wanted to usurp the throne of Almighty God and be God himself and want to be worshiped himself. You can only imagine the arrogance of this individual. Remember, at this point, we're in the middle of the tribulation, the great tribulation. So he's gone from being peaceable in the first part of the tribulation to now to be this Satan incarnate human being. There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies and authority to act for how long? 42 months. How long is that? It's time times and half a time. How long is that? It's 1,260 days. What is that? It's 3.5 years. All of those are the same amount of time. And so notice here in the last half of the tribulation, here you've got him now. He's a completely different individual than you saw him riding in on a white horse earlier in the earlier chapters, coming in peaceably, wooing the world with his incredible looks, his incredible astuteness, his great intellect. And now notice, there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words. Notice, there was given to him. Who gave it to him? The dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. And authority, notice he's given authority to act. In other words, he's given authority by Satan with limited ability, only as God allows him, to act for 42 months. And he will do that, and the masses of the people, their lives will either be such that they will reject Christ and they will worship him, or they will receive Christ and many of them will be martyred for their faith, beheaded, slain, whatever all of the tactics of killing will be, as the Antichrist does and gives credence to those who will be acting for him. Notice, this will go on for 42 months. Verse 6, and he, the Antichrist, opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. Against God. To do what? To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. That will be the rebuilt temple that you and I looked at in Revelation chapter 11. The temple that's going to be built during the days, the early part of the tribulation period. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. How is he going to do that? He's going to set himself up to be worshiped in the temple. He can't be there 24/7. So his sidekick, this other beast that comes up out of the earth, this will be the false prophet who heads up the world's false religion, that if you follow the Antichrist, you will have to be a part of. And notice, how will he defame himself in the temple? He will require people, mandate, to be worshiped. I mentioned to you last Wednesday evening, I think, before I showed the video clip, this was on the Drudge Report last week. Terrifying microwave AI, that's artificial intelligence, that's robots. Terrifying Microsoft AI can build a robot clone of your voice after just 3 seconds. The Bible says this image of him, whatever it is, this robot, this artificial intelligence, whatever this image is going to be, it will speak, and it will be his voice speaking. When I read that, I thought, how apropos for such a time as this, as you and I are studying this in the book of Revelation. Now it says, and he opened his mouth and blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that will be that rebuilt temple that they're looking to rebuild. That is those who dwell in heaven. In other words, he is going to blaspheme the God of heaven and earth. Notice in verse 7, it was also given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Who are the saints? It will be those that will be saved during those days. Saints are called out ones. You and I are called saints, even though we may not act like a saint. We're called saints. It was also given to him to make war with the saints. Notice that the phrase, and to overcome them. He will literally wear them down. They will die, for the most part, for their faith, because they will not worship this beast. And notice the next phrase, and authority. This Antichrist is given authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. Did you get that? Authority over all the peoples of the earth. Notice in verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, but get the phrase, the next phrase is what's important to that verse right there. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Does that mean the saints that get saved are going to worship him? No. There's the answer. Who's going to worship him? Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Did you realize that God has a book, and every human being that has been, will be saved, their names was written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world ever came into being. If you were in Sunday school class this morning, and in my Sunday school quarterly, we studied the 139th Psalm about how that our inward parts were knit together in our mother's womb, that he had all of our days written before there was ever one of them. Verse 8 is very specific about the worshipers of the Antichrist. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Those people that will not worship him will pay the price for their life. They will be a fatality. They will be a martyred victim for not worshiping this one world leader. Verse 9. Notice what the Holy Spirit said that John encapsulates to you and to me in verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Well, the last time I looked, most people have an ear. And what John is saying, that because we've been given ears to hear, we better sit up and take note and hear what this is all about. Verse 10, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Now I want you to just for a moment, imagine. Set yourself aside for a moment, and you're in these days of the tribulation. And a one world leader has come on the scene. And he is not only demanding, commanding, and mandating you to fall at his feet and worship him. Do you see how that he tries? Satan tries to duplicate everything that Christ did. The death, the resurrection, worship. He wants those to worship him, and when they don't, let me tell you, their faith will cause them, as they're persevering through those days, their faith will be the thing that will cause them to come to the edge of life and to be massacred for the sake of Christ. Notice in verse 11, we're going to see a second beast. Then I saw another beast. Notice where this one's coming up. Out of the earth. Now, when it mentioned that the first beast, the Antichrist, is coming out of the sea, the masses, the multitudes of the people, it's referring to the civil unrest that's going to be in the world during those days. If you and I think the world is civilly unrestful tonight, we hadn't seen anything of what will take place during this period of time. Now, this beast, who will be the Antichrist sidekick, if you will, is going to be the one that will lead up the one world religion. It'll be an amalgamation of all kinds of stuff. It'll be a false religion. Notice this beast comes up out of the earth. What is that saying? That's speaking about more of a peaceable situation. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. Notice, like a lamb. And he spoke as a dragon. This one world false religious leader who heads up the world religion, who causes people to fall and worship the Antichrist. Let me tell you, when they fall to worship him, notice once again, Satan tries to mimic what Christ is going to have done when he sets his foot back on the Mount of Olives and they cleave in two. There'll be a great earthquake. Notice that The Bible says, every eye will see and every tongue will confess and every knee is going to bow to him when he comes. See what the Antichrist is doing? In the days of the tribulation, time is short. He doesn't have a lot of time. So he's going to try to get them to worship him once again. Now, verse 11, this one world religious leader who's in cahoots, at least for a while, with the Antichrist, under the Antichrist's thumb and authority, he comes in and he has two horns like a lamb. In other words, he comes in like he's a peaceable person with great religion and skills. But notice how he speaks. He speaks as a devil. He speaks like a Satan. Notice verse 12 says, what is he going to do? He exercises all the authority of the first beast. That's the Antichrist. The second beast, the one world religious pontiff, leader, whoever he will be. Notice that he exercises all the authority of the first beast, and that's the Antichrist, in his presence. And notice what this second beast, this one world religious leader, does with all the authority of the Antichrist. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the Antichrist, the first beast. Now notice, we've already been given that those saints whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world that will be saved in the tribulation, they're not going to fall down and worship. We've already been told that from the other verses. So here you've got two beasts. One of them is the world leader, the Antichrist, the first one, comes up out of the sea, the multitude and the masses of the peoples of the world, the Gentile nations of the world. That's why I believe that the Antichrist will be a Gentile from the masses of the people. Now you've got a second beast that's his sidekick. He's coming up out of the earth, out of the group of the world, and he's going to come on the scene to cause people to worship the one world leader. Now notice it says, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. What happened to the first beast that so amazed the world and caused people to fall down at his feet, whose fatal wound was healed? Now the last time I looked up the word fatal, fatal meant fatal. If you're in a fatal accident, you've died. So, we're told here that you've got two beasts. One's ruling the world. One is going to rule the religious part of worship that will cause the masses of the people to fall down and worship the Antichrist, whose fatal wound was healed, verse 13. What does he do? He performs great, once again, there's that word great, great signs. That means these signs that he's going to perform are going to be of the magnitude of the signs that Christ and his disciples performed while on the earth. In fact, it's the same word for signs that were used for the miracles that Jesus performed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. Notice how people will be truly amazed. Now, we're talking about this second beast here, this one world religious leader. He's given the ability and the powers to do these things in the presence of men. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword. We're told there then evidently he's killed by a sword wound and has come to life. Verse 15 says, and it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast. The image, where is it? It's in the temple. This second beast is going to be given the authority and the power to give breath to that image so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. There you go. Did you get that? Those that are not going to worship the image of the beast, what does he do? He calls for them to be killed. Verse 16, and he causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Now, I want to stop right here. I don't know the definitive answer to the microchipping, okay? Someone mentioned to me just this past week how that the microchips are already made. I read that back some time ago anyway. But somebody reminded me those are already made, and they want to try to have the world microchip by such and such a date in the future. But I think you and I need to understand something right here. Will the microchip be something, or is it going to be a tattoo? What is this mark of the beast? What is it going to be? According to verse 16, and he causes all, this one world religious leader, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on, O-N. That's the Greek term epi, E-P-I. Have you ever heard of the epidermis? Isn't it the outer layer of skin? It seems to me, based upon verse 16, that this mark will be on, their right hand or on their forehead. Now, it doesn't say it's going to be under the skin. I think that we get alarmed about some of these things. But as I understand, based upon chapter 13, verse 16, that this mark to be given on epi, E-P-I, Greek term, on their right hand. It didn't say under. So I'm just throwing that out there for you to think about. Notice in verse 17, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, down through millennia, people have tried to figure out who is this one world dictator, who is this one world antichrist, and oh my goodness, the gamut goes from the far spectrums of men that have lived throughout the ages, and many of those have already died. And so, who is this one world dictator, let me tell you right now, you're not going to know, and I'm not going to know, because it's not going to be revealed till the middle part and the last half of the tribulation. And guess what? I'm going to be there. So it's useless to try to figure out who this Antichrist is. Suffice it to say, either the name of the beast or the number of his name, 666. Six, of course, is the biblical number of imperfection. Man is number six. He is incomplete. Seven is the biblical numerology for perfection. In the days of the tribulation, in the last half of the tribulation, those that are alive will be able to figure out this man. They will know because of the name of this beast or the number of his name. Now, verse 18 says, here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, that's the Antichrist, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Now, you and I, no point of us going any further into explanation on that, because you and I will not be able to calculate and to understand that. But those during the days of the tribulation, they will get it. They will be able to calculate. They will be able to understand who this guy is and what he is all about. Would you stand with me as we pray together? Father, bless us tonight as we go to our homes. Take each one safely to their home. Keep them safe in the parking lot. Bring them back safely on Wednesday as we begin looking at chapter 14 and the 144,000, these witnesses. And God, I pray that you would help us to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of what the Scripture is saying, that we need to be keenly aware of the days that we're living in so that we can live a life that will exude the life of Christ, so that we can share with others how desperately they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us in our understanding of the book of Revelation, because when you get to looking at it, examining it, oh God, it's so clear for the most part for us to understand and to learn about. Thank you for your wonderful words that you've given to us. And there in that 18th verse, here's wisdom for those that are living in that period of time. Here's wisdom that they be able to know who this person is so that they're prepared for the things that are coming their way. Oh God, I pray for a lost world tonight. Oh God, that looks at all of this like it's a fairy tale story, that looks at this and say it's an antiquated book, that look at this and many even Christians say, oh, this happened in years gone by. Oh God, how many people are asleep at the wheel tonight to not understand the gravity of this incredible, the revelation. Father, help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this new year. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Turn around, meet and greet somebody on the way out.